is the moment fans around the world have been waiting for.
Gentlemen, welcome to a new era in the hour of power in sports and entertainment. Tonight, I'm actually doing quite not a season premiere. I'm actually doing a bit of a hybrid because McPree, normally will he be on this time slot on the hour of power in sports and entertainment. He is not here. He's out celebrating his son's birthday. So instead, what I decided to do, I decided to bring the best of both worlds, the hour of power in sports and entertainment, and no foul play. So I do have a co-host tonight, and that is my buddy Momo, which you all have heard here on the BDSIR networks on No Foul Play from Scotland. What's going on, Momo? Welcome to the hour of power in sports, man. What's going on? I think we're having a little bit of technical difficulties because he just messaged me saying that he can't hear anything. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to go ahead and fix his issue. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking everything on the Hour of Power in Sports, from football. I'm talking about NCAA football, and that started today with UFC, as well as none other than, obviously, our kind of football, which is my type of football. As we all know, Mike Knox likes to call it soccer. I call it football. We'll be right back, y'all. We're trying to get the kinks ready for here on the BDSIR Networks. No foul play. We'll be right back, y'all.
Tra If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We've brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to BDS IR Networks presents Hour of Power in Sports and No Foul Play Hybrid. I apologize to everyone. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but like I was saying earlier, I am joined now by my co-host of No Foul Play, that McPree couldn't be here. Momo, what's going on, buddy? Welcome to the Hour of Power in Sports, man.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here. It is 20:02 in the morning. I have a 10K race in just under 9 hours, but why the hell not? I'm not working, so let's do this. Let's do this, man.
Why not, right? Why not? But like I said, today we are combining. We are doing a little bit of a hybrid. Normally at this time hour, it will be the Hour of Power and Sports, like I said earlier, with normally McPree, but he's out with his son, you know, he's celebrating his birthday up in Cape Canaveral. So I wasn't going to have a show today. So then I was like, you know what? Instead of me doing a no-foul play tomorrow, since I have to work all day tomorrow, I might as well just combine the both of them. So I will have your American sports update, so don't worry about that. We will be having that because at the end of the day, this is the show for that. And we are going to be talking a little bit about, since Momo is a wrestling fan, we are going to talk a little bit about UFC because we know CM Punk will be fighting this upcoming Saturday against Mickey Gall. Yeah. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait for that fight. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen to CM Punk. But really quick, top headlines in around the news here in the United States. Sources have said that Mark Sanchez have been cut by the Denver Broncos. He's off to the Dallas Cowboys. Apparently, obviously, after the apparent injury for Tony Romo, he will be now become a Cowboy now that he's also been sat down by the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. I forgot his name. He's some scrub. Anyway, Blaine Gabbert also beats out Colin Kaepernick for the 49ers job. The Vikings acquire Sam Bradford, quarterback from the Philadelphia Eagles, for a first-round pick. The Broncos are also looking to trade Aqib Talib. As we all know, he's a cornerback for the Denver Broncos. Right now, currently going on in college football, guys. Right now, we have USC playing Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Right now, it's a 3-0 victory so far for USC. The Florida Gators up 7-7 on UMass. The University of Georgia down to the University of Carolina 24-23. There's 10 minutes to go left on that. Also, two of the biggest stories: Houston, number 15, Houston defeated Oklahoma today 33-23, and LSU could not handle at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field against Wisconsin. They were down 16-14. That means an unranked team has finally made some strides and have defeated a top 10 team in college football. And we're going to talk about it more, I'm sure, this week coming up on the BDS side. Excuse me, on the hour on Fox Sports 1340 AM, Hope on Soul and Sports with Mike Knox, yours truly, and everyone else. Also, really quick, going on right now in the U.S. Open, Momo. I don't know if you follow tennis, but right now we have Williams. Okay, Venus Williams is up right now against Sigmund 6-1, and she's now up 2-1. And Serena Williams defeated Larson from Sweden 6-2, 6-1. Also, Wawrinka, as we know, he is a Swiss international right now. He's on the fifth set at the moment. They're going into the fifth set. Wawrinka lost the first set 6-4 against Evans, 6-3, 7-6, and 7-6. Andy Murray earlier today was victorious, 7-6, 7-5, 6-2, 6-3. I'm sure you're happy about that. Also, as we know, Juan Del Potro, do you remember the Argentinian gold medalist, well, silver medalist? He unfortunately he edged out Ferrer 7-6, 6-2, 6-3. Not bad for someone that's unranked.
Because Ferrer is a dangerous player.
He definitely is. Also, right now in Major League Baseball, the Baltimore Orioles up 1-0 against the New York Yankees, the Mets 2-1 and the Washington Nationals, the Kansas City Royals up 2-1 on Detroit, also the Chicago Cubs losing to San Francisco 3-2, and Cincinnati were defeated by St. Louis 9-1. So, with that being said, before we get into our sport, Momo, there is a huge fight coming up this upcoming Saturday. Now, I know you're
choose your words carefully, Hugo.
What do you mean?
You say coming up, it might not happen.
What do you mean? Well, it will happen.
regardless. But
Tommy, this is the moment UFC fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time!
I love playing that clip. That's one of my favorite things to do when I actually do host a radio live. When I host a radio live, I love playing that clip. Because Bruce Buffer is such a stud. I would have him any day in a WWE ring than the scrubs right now that the WWE have.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, because Bruce Buffer is a stud, dude. I don't care what anyone says, man. Bruce Buffer is a stud. Outside of Howard Finkel and John Lennon from boxing, I think this is the man that should definitely be ring announcing every sporting event. But anyway, Mickey Gall, as we know, he did win the Ultimate Fighter. He is now 2-0 in his professional record. He will be going against CM Punk, formerly of the WWE. Momo, as a WWE fan, does this piss you off, man? Does it piss you off?
A lot of things piss me off. I loved CM Punk. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to make no bones about it. I loved CM Punk. I was obsessed with CM Punk. I didn't care when he turned heel like a lot of people did. People were like, oh my God, he turned heel. Oh no. It was great. It made sense when he turned heel. He then had Paul Heyman as his advocate, which made it even better.
But right.
What annoys me about the whole CM Punk situation, never mind his run in the 434, face, heel, tweener, whatever, really, really got to me was the fact that he threw his toys at the pram and walked because he wasn't getting what he wanted. Within 4 weeks of Punk walking, Daniel Bryan was like this close to wrestling in the event. Within 6 weeks of Punk walking, Daniel Bryan had a match at WrestleMania 30 to qualify for the World Heavyweight title match, which he did by beating Triple H, as you all know, and then he went and won the world title. That was one of the big things CM Punk wanted. One of the other big things CM Punk wanted was all his buddies and all the great, great top names of the indies to join WWE. Now here we are, 2.5 years later. Who's your Universal Champion? Kevin Owens. Top five guys on the roster. Rollins. Owens. Ambrose. Sami Zayn, just to piss you off. And
yeah, I don't like
Nakamura.
And
I have man, yeah. But you know, I was like, I've kind of like top five guys here, you know, Nakamura, Rollins, Owens, Zayn, Ambrose, you know, all indie guys. 2.5 years later, Punk is getting what he wanted, but he took his toys and took his ball, went home. Sorry, home, because I'm Scottish and I speak slang. Sorry, guys. He went home, and at first, I was really upset and. My toys are out of the pram. I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm done with WWE. I can't believe they've done this. You know, oh, as much as I love Triple H, oh, no, 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 no. But here I am 2.5 years later. I cannot take my eyes off NXT. Because I'm in the UK, NXT airs like 2 a.m. our time. And most weeks is worth, well, it's staying up for. It's not worth staying up for because it's just so tiring. But on a Thursday, the first thing I do when I'm like, home from work, or I'm not working to get up, is watch NXT. But anyway, away from that tangent, Punk is going to get smashed. He's not a UFC fighter. He's 30 pounds overweight. He's not going to be able to do it. He's had so many fights announced. He's doing it this UFC event. And it's never happened. He's going to get battered. So to go back to your original question, as a WWE fan, does it piss me off? Yes, it does.
Okay, well, we know that Mickey Gall, I mean, 2-0 record, if you have seen any of his fights, and I know you're not a big UFC guy, and it's understandable, it's not for everyone. Wally, our resident Solon Sports Major League contributor, Major League Baseball contributor, he doesn't watch UFC. Really, realistically, it's me and Mike that like it on the network. But let me tell you about Mickey Gall. Mickey Gall is a fighter, is tenacious. He's young, 22 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And, dude, he's been rambling people left and right. Like, this last two fights have been amazing. I'll be honest with you, man. CM Punk, with all of his injuries, I do not believe, to be honest with you, that he can beat Mickey Gall. Mickey Gall is a fighter who will take you down to the ground. He'll ground and pound you. We know that CM Punk has been practicing jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's what he's specializing in. However, with the wrestling that Mickey Gall has, also the strike force that I've seen from Mickey Gall, I'll be honest with you, Momo, it'll probably be a first-round knockout, maybe a first-round submission. I just don't believe in CM Punk.
No, neither do I.
So 347-637-3859 is the number to call if you want to get into the conversation. You could also tweet live into the show at BDSIR No Thought Play. If you're away overseas, you can get on the conversation by using the Skype button. So just go on the show website, and then you'll be able to hit the S one. But once again, 347-637-3859 is the number to call. Now, Momo, you know what? We've already talked a little bit about CM Punk. We're going to have a huge show on it on Friday, on Lock It Up Friday, I'm sure, with Mike Knox. But you know what? Let's hybrid into our sport, the sport that we both love, which is actual football. Everyone knows that Mike Knox likes to call it soccer. It is not soccer. By the way, if you say that word, Momo will get mad. Now, since we can't curse on this network, please, Momo.
You said the word three times, Shigu. I'm getting a little bit upset.
My Scottish friend over here, he hates that word. But with that being said, we need to get into some of these football topics. As we know that the summer transfer window has ended. We did try to record a show, and we actually recorded part of a show to have it as a bonus show for this weekend. But instead, what the hell? We'll just redo it again today. But huge, huge things that happen, obviously, in the summer transfer window from when it started all the way to the end, especially at the end, which Premier League teams decided. The Premier League teams, £1 billion and counting of how much money it was spent by just English teams alone. That obviously has to do with the new TV deal that is happening over there in England. Also, the money that comes – you know how much money is being pumped here into the United States when it comes to the Premier League, Momo? We get every game in the Premier League, every game, even your 10 a.m. kickoffs or 3 p.m. kickoffs over there. We get those here.
What?
And we can watch any
you
game that we want.
You get every game.
I get any game. So, go ahead.
We don't get – I think – don't quote me this. I think it's a licensing thing, but we don't
it
get
is.
Any 3 o'clock kickoff here at all. We've got to
you
wait
know the reason
much
why.
A day.
You know
like
the
that.
Reason why is because, and again, this is something that Rick earlier, like about a year and a half ago, we were having this discussion. Is because people won't go to the stadium if you have every single game online. Like if you have every single game, people will not go to the stadium. I mean, why go to the stadium where you can stay at home and watch every game? You know what I mean?
Well, I can relate to that actually.
Because I'll be honest with you, listen, yeah, it's great going out to the ground. Let's be honest. When I was in Colombia, hell, I used to try to go to the ground as much as I can, but there were times where you'd be like, I just want to stay in with the family. You know, that's how it is. So that's the reason why. But we get, I don't know how many games are anyway. There's 20 teams, right? There's 20 teams, so that means there's 10 matches. There's 10 matches, right? We get all 380 games here in the United States. So if I want to watch Burnley, versus
Swansea.
I don't know, put it out there, Swansea or Sunderland or Watford, I can watch that. But alas, being said, £1 billion was spent over in the summer transfer window based, obviously, on TV deals in the United States, also in England, where Sky Sports had, what, £4.7 billion pumped into a brand-new TV deal, as well as BT Sport. I think it was £1.3 billion. It's a lot of money, but £1.1 billion, and I'm telling you, Momo, I think next transfer window, not in the winter, because in the winter, you know, it's not really much that really happens in the winter, summer, it could exceed £2 billion, man.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I'm trying to find the figures now, but I think it was closer to 1.10. If we're going to be accurate and pernickety, I think this transfer window was closer to 1.2, but that's only $800 million, and people out there listening might be sitting there going, this guy Momo, he's saying it's only $800 million. Guys, Pogba is now the most expensive player in the world. 2 years ago, Gareth Bale was the most expensive player in the world. 3 years before that, it was Ronaldo. And then, you know, Neymar in between them came close to Ronaldo's transfer fee. You know, Money
Di Maria.
Cilia.
Di Maria.
Sorry, Di Maria. Yep, all right. That's
when,
it. Sorry, I forgot about him. Yes, you're completely right, man. David Luiz, 50 million to Chelsea.
James Rodriguez, £72 million.
It was, yeah, you're right, man. And also, I know that this fee is nothing in comparison to those, but just because he's Scottish and he's now the most expensive Scottish player ever, Oliver Burke, £50 million, Nottingham Forest to Red Bull Leipzig during the week, out of nowhere. £50 million for a Scottish player who's 19 years old. That's ridiculous.
It is, man. It is. It definitely is ridiculous. But some, obviously, like Momo said, the biggest and most expensive now in world football record has been Paul Pogba coming over from Juventus back to Manchester United for a reported £89 million, which is equivalent to roughly about $103 million. That's just insane. It's insane. But anyway, that was
wow.
Obviously the most marquee. Most marquee transfer. Also, we had also a couple, as we know, Joe Hart went over to Torino, Serie A team. I feel bad for Joe Hart, but at the end of the day, Pep Guardiola, who is hyped as the best manager in the world, it's arguable for some people he is, for some people he isn't. I happen to believe that there has been better managers than he has in our lifetime, but currently, I think Pep Guardiola is the most decorated. I'm not saying the best, Momo, but if you want to talk about decorated, it definitely has to be Pep Guardiola. So you have to hold high Pep Guardiola in a huge pedestal. So Pep Guardiola,
are you trying to say that Pep Guardiola is the most decorated manager right now?
Decorated, yes. Decorated, yes. You don't think so?
Wrong. I know.
Okay.
I know so.
Okay. So make your argument then. Make your argument.
Walter Smith.
Who?
What do you mean who?
Who?
Let's not go into New Day and go who here. We can do it later. Walter Smith, the Rangers manager who led Rangers to nine in a row.
If I could mute you right now, you're lucky that I have you right now. You're lucky that I have you right now on my host line. But if I could mute you right now, I would mute you for the most asinine thing. Come on, Scottish football, really? Scottish blasphemous. That's it. Anyway. You could also say the same thing for Jose Mourinho. You could say the same thing for Carlo Ancelotti. By the way, Carlo Ancelotti is another hell of a manager. I have a lot of respect for Carlo Ancelotti. Obviously,
give Luis Enrique a couple of years as well, and he'll get there.
But Luis Enrique is realistically is just really starting on his first big gig. I'm talking about decorated. I'm talking about titles, because if we're talking about fantastic managers, hell, you could put Ronald Koeman up there. You could put Diego Simeone up there. You could put. I think so, man. I think Simeone is a fantastic. I think he's a top five coach. I don't know about you, but I think he's a top five coach. You don't think he is?
If we're talking worldwide managers right now,
mm-hmm.
yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Reproduce it at another club. Well, that is questionable.
No, I was going to say, I just believe that Diego Simeone, his tactics, I mean, obviously, let's be honest, listen, I love Atletico Madrid. If there's one team in Spain that I do support is Atletico Madrid, and I love what he's done over there at the Vicente Calderon. I love what he has done. But, however, they're not as prolific as Barcelona or Real Madrid are.
Oh, God, no. But then a lot of that's down to the front line. I mean, you can't compare anyone with Messi or Ronaldo, to be fair.
You can't. Not at all. You can't. But at the end of the day, like I said, so anyway, so, you know, Pep Guardiola, and again, like going back to, we got out of tangent. I was talking about Pep Guardiola and managers and all that, but obviously we know Joe Hart went over to Torino as he fell off with Pep Guardiola. Also in Manchester United, also Jose Mourinho, obviously he's cleaned out the crap Louis van Gaal had, and he brought on Henrik Mkhitaryan from Borussia Dortmund. He brought in also Eric Bailly from Villarreal, and he also bought in Zlatan Ibrahimovic on a free transfer. I mean, those are fantastic signings. However, if you were to say in England, in England alone, just in the Premier League, who had the best team, the team that had the best transfer window? If you were to say, you'd be like, okay, that team stands out for me.
Purely on paper, Man United, because of the names. Purely on paper. Because if you look at it, you
think
Zlatan, okay, he's 35, but he's banging the goals in the couple of games we've had. And Mkhitaryan, awesome player. And Pogba, well, speaks for himself. You know, obviously, again, Jose Mourinho, great coup as a manager. Same with yourselves at Man City, you've went and brought in Pep. You know, obviously, we've known about Pep long before the transfer window, but still, it all goes towards it. But on paper, Man United edge it. But as we all know, nothing is won on paper, it's won on the field.
Right. Agreed, 100%. I mean, if you look at Chelsea, for example, you look at a club like Chelsea, they didn't bring anyone except N'Golo Kante, but they have been night and day. Really? Yeah, I guess you're right. No, you're right. N'Golo Kante.
I know, but I agree with you.
But really, they're night and day. They're night and day of what they were last season. And they're and basically
horrible
they have
last
the same
year.
Squad. And yeah, I agree. And basically have the same squad.
Look at Hazard. He's a different player.
It could have been the Jose Mourinho factor. I mean, the thing is about Jose Mourinho, Romo, is that like after 3 years, he gets stagnant. And I think Jose Mourinho suffered at Chelsea. I mean, obviously, he did what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to win the Premier League title back again with Chelsea. He did that goal, and that's it. The thing is, and then we'll see if he can do the same with Man United, which I think he can. I think Jose Mourinho is a type of manager, and I've always said this about this, and Rick always says, oh, well, I think you're wrong. But anyway, Rick's opinion to me, honestly, a lot of the times doesn't mean anything. But I think anytime Jose Mourinho does touch a club, it can potentially turn into gold. I wouldn't be surprised if Man United do claim the Premier League title in the next 2 years.
The only place Jose Mourinho hasn't, well, he did turn Madrid into gold. He didn't win the Champions League. The same with Chelsea, though. But when you look at him at Porto, first year, UEFA Cup, second year, Champions League, Chelsea, Premiership title plus a couple of cups. Then where do you go after Chelsea? Did he go straight to Madrid after Chelsea? I can't remember.
He won La Liga.
Yeah. And then he went to, where do you go from Madrid?
He went back to Chelsea.
Yes, of course, yes. I'm just trying to think about Kremlin. Yeah, and Chelsea.
Inter.
Oh, you're talking
about?
Inter, that's it. Inter. And what did you do, Inter? He won the Champions League.
Right.
You know, like you say, wherever Mourinho goes, what he touches, it turns to gold. Maybe not the ultimate goal, of course, being the Champions League, because that's the one that everybody wants to win, apart from the domestic league, but your bread and butter. But he always wins something big. Always.
Absolutely. That's why I don't have hate. People hate on Jose Mourinho. And maybe it's because it's his demeanor. It's the way that he comes out to the press, which is understandable why people would hate Jose Mourinho. I personally, Momo, I don't hate Jose Mourinho. I think Jose Mourinho is a fantastic manager. Yes, should he calm down a lot of the times when he goes and does his post-match interviews and then he gets into it with the FA or he gets into it with other managers? Yes, he definitely should. But you cannot say, oh, well, this man isn't a great manager. Of course you can't. You can't because look what Momo just said. He won everything at Porto. He won everything at Inter Milan. He won everything at Real Madrid, except for the Champions. And what I mean by everything, I'm talking about league titles. You know, he won also at Chelsea. And I'm telling you right now, and as much as it pains me as a Man City fan, he's probably going to win the Premier League title with Man United. I think they're going to split it between, in the next 3 years, because we know that Pep Guardiola and both Jose Mourinho have a three-year contract with Man United and Man City, respectively. I think they're going to split a Premier League title each, Momo, because the Premier League is the hardest league in the world. And then I think, don't be surprised if Antonio Conte with Chelsea win another league title, man.
Wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people will probably sit there and be like, guys, Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool. I'm not a supporter. I am a supporter, but I'm not, like, obviously, Rangers and Elgin City. That's my team. You know, you always see me posting about them on Facebook. and very, very close to Liverpool. I do support Liverpool, but I'm more of a follower of Liverpool than a supporter. Because if Rangers or Elgin slip up, you know, I get annoyed, I get angry. Liverpool slip up, I'm just like, well, you know.
It is what Liverpool, it is.
Yeah, as good as Liverpool are, they're nowhere near consistent enough. And that is a huge issue if for any team that wants to get anywhere near the top four, let alone win the league. That is why I didn't mention Liverpool in any breath with City, United or Chelsea or league champions, because it's not happening. Not this year, anyway.
No, I don't think for the next 3 years. 347-637-3859 is the number to call. Make sure you hit the one button if you're going to want to get into the conversation. Or you could always tweet me. I am monitoring the Twitter page at BDSIR No Foul Play. Anyway, so those, you know, obviously Man City. We look also in the Premier League. Man City did bring also some good signings. Nolito over from Celta Vigo. He was a Barcelona prospect. Barcelona really wanted him for the last 2 years, and now that the incumbent manager Pep Guardiola came around, he was able to snatch him away from the Catalan. They brought in Ilkay Gundogan, as we know, just like Mkhitaryan from Borussia Dortmund. The only thing I don't like about those two signings, Bill Momo, between both Man United and Man City, and I posted this earlier on our Flock Football page, is that when it comes to German football, I follow it religiously. I follow it more than La Liga. I follow it more than Liga 1, Serie A. Besides the Premier League, I watch Bundesliga. And watching Dortmund, as a Dortmund supporter, because I am a Dortmund supporter and I love Dortmund, obviously I'm going to support City to no other, but if Dortmund plays, I'm there for Dortmund. With Dortmund, what I've noticed is that both Ilkay Gundogan and Henrik Mkhitaryan are very injury prone. Obviously, if we see the international break, Armenia, where Henrik Mkhitaryan playing, he's already injured. He's out for 7 to 14 days. It's a hamstring injury. Those are tricky. It could turn into a month. It can turn into a month. Ilkay Gundogan, same thing. Broken leg, broken ankle. Before 2 years before that, it was his back. 3 years before that, it was his neck. These are players that are a liability for both United and Man City, though, Momo. I don't know if you ever watched Dortmund games, but I don't know if you ever noticed that it's both Gundogan and Mkhitaryan.
I don't have BT Sport, and I mean, due to my work, I'm generally working when all the football's on, and I have noticed through keeping up with these leagues that Mkhitaryan and Gundogan have been, you know, fairly had a fair amount of time in the stands with a broken or torn or something or other wrong with them, and it's had a substantial amount of time out. I mean, maybe not substantial in the course of the season, but when you look at it continuously, it's a long time you've been out for overall.
I agree 100%. It's going to continue on. Obviously, in Man City, they also brought in a lot of youth. You know, John Stones, English center back, coming from Everton over to Manchester City. Great signing, I think, under Pep Guardiola. He'll revive his career, especially after the disaster of one Roberto Martinez, who used to be the manager for Everton, now the Belgian international manager. Also, they brought in a couple of other youngsters, especially mine, that I'm going to say it, Marlos Moreno. None of you guys know who he is. He is a right winger. He used to play for my boyhood club, Atlético Nacional, in Colombia. He's now shipped over to Deportivo La Coruña on a loan basis, but this 19-year-old player can be big. And I was actually having a discussion yesterday with Rick, and he goes, well, I don't think in 3 years' time, you know, you're going to have Aguero still there. You're going to have Sané. I'm like, listen, Rick, at the end of the day, Aguero is, what, 28 years old. In 3 years' time, you'll be 31. You know what I mean? He is going to get older. Mm. Players do get older, and Pep Guardiola is envisioning the future. And what I mean by the future, he brought in this guy, Chinchenko. I don't know how he's pronounced it. Chinchenko, I forget. From Russia, anyway. He brought him in, 18-year-old player, fantastic signing, Marlos Moreno being another one. So, and with Kelechi Iheanacho, this could potentially, and with Sané, this could potentially be your strike force for the future. So I don't see where there's wrong that they can't earn their teams, you know, their team colors in 2 or 3 years' time. And I think that's what Pep Guardiola is trying to do, Momo.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you've seen that he did that. He tried to do a lot with Barcelona. You know, he had a lot of young players coming through. Some of which worked out, some of which didn't work out, you know. Like if Bojan didn't work out, but then you look at some of the other signings, like, you know, obviously Messi was fairly big then, but under Pep, Messi had his greatest ever season. He banged in like 70 goals and beat Gerd Müller's long-standing record. So it just shows that even with players that developed, Pep is still looking to youngsters, even though he's got players that developed, that's still a long time left, and he's doing the exact same at Man City. And I'll tell you what, some of these young boys he's signing for City, if they can do half the job they've done currently in the previous clubs under Pep, they're going to be some side in the next couple of years. Some side, I'll tell you that right now, man.
I agree 100% with you. Definitely very eloquently said. Some of the other signings, we know Juventus also in Serie A has gotten very strong as well, especially after Paul Pogba came around. Even though they lost Morata and Pogba, they will bring back Juan Cuadrado. They bought Pjanic from Roma. Obviously, Gonzalo Higuain, huge signing for Juventus. Huge signing. But I don't think anyone's going to take the crown away from Juventus, not in the next years to come, at least, Momo.
Juve have got that title for at least the next 2 years, I'd say. At least the next two. I'd be very surprised if anyone finished within 10 points of Juve.
Wow.
This season.
That's a huge...
Look at Napoli, man. Who have they got? They've just sold their prize striker. And yeah, they've got a ton of money in for him, but who did they replace him with? Genuine question. I genuinely don't know. I don't think they did. Roma are a mess. AC Milan are a mess. Inter Milan are a mess. So, if anyone finishes within 10 points of Juve, I'll take my hat off to them, because I can't see that happening. Juve is far too strong.
I agree 100%. If we switch over also countries, we go to Spain, we go to La Liga. In La Liga, Barcelona, obviously, they just got stronger. They brought in Umtiti over from, I believe it was Olympic Marseille, fantastic defender to play alongside with Pique. Paco Alcácer, who used to play up front for Valencia, is now a part with Barcelona. And to be honest with you, Momo, I believe it's a fantastic signing, because now you could rotate Messi, Neymar, and Suarez.
Yep, that's going to be a huge signing for Barca. I think it means you could probably drop two of MSN for the Kings Cup, keep them fresh for La Liga with Real Madrid's potentially renewed title challenge, and then faith under Zidane's leadership and ability to take the team. A lot of people question whether Zidane could cope with the egos in that team, and all you've got to say is number 11.
Agreed. So anyway, overall in your perspective throughout the transfer window, there was a lot of transfers. What were some of your key takeaways from this transfer window, Momo? And you could also talk about if anything in Scottish football or whatever, you know, by all means, go for it.
For the more recognised leagues, obviously, your Mkhitaryans, your Gundogans, your John Stones, your Pogbas, your Peps, your Mourinho's, great, great transfer window, your Contes as well, I'm not free to Chelsea out, and your David Luiz. Sorry, that's not going to Arsenal, well, absolute shambles again, but that's Arsenal for you. You know, they find these players, they could have had them in earlier if they hadn't messed around with the 1 or 2 million extra that they're costing to get them in earlier, but that's just Arsene Wenger for you. Internationally, like we just discussed there, Italy, well, Juventus are head and shoulders. Barcelona, a couple of good signings there to hopefully combat Madrid's renewed ability under Zidane. Going into Scotland for our listeners here, I'm the big Scottish football man. My team is Rangers. We signed 11 players, including Nico Cranchar of former Portsmouth fame and last season New York Cosmos. He's been really good so far. We also got Joey Barton from Burnley. I'm trying to think who else we've signed that's like recognisable players. Joe Garner from Preston North End. He's looking pretty good. If you play a friendly today, he looks really good apparently. A few other players as well, I can't remember off the top of my head. So that's going to be quite interesting for Rangers. It's Celtic, our biggest rivals, and we'll go into this a little while later as well. They find Scott Sinclair from Aston Villa, and he's just banged in the goals. And for me, being a Rangers fan, that's worrying. Also, we've got Brendan Rodgers as the manager, which is a great coup for Scottish football and for Celtic as a whole, because as badly as Rodgers did at Liverpool, apart from the one season, 32nd, no one wants to come to Scottish football because there's no money in the game. But Brendan Rodgers has come to Celtic and he's attracted to a couple of big name signings, so it's actually really good for the advert and the prestige of the game, because there's not much prestige in Scotland. Going down to my hometown team, Elgin City, my boy, the Black and Whites, we had a goalkeeper on loan who was looking the business, and he was recalled at 11:45 on Wednesday night because our transfer window in Scotland shut at midnight, so we lost our keeper at 11:45 on Wednesday night, which was devastating. That's about it, really, I can say.
All right, so in other words, so pretty much, so you were impressed with the big leagues and all of that. How about it? Anything going on in Scottish football before we actually switch the page over to international break?
Well, yeah, like I said, there's a couple of transfers and that, but next weekend is the big Old Firm derby. Really, really looking forward to that. It's the second one this year because Rangers played Celtic in the Scottish Cup semi-final, where we emerged victorious on penalties, which was a sweet, sweet day. But this is the different. This is the league business. This is the bread and butter. If Rangers lose this, we're going to be 4 points behind Celtic, which is also a small gap. But when you live in Scotland and you support one of the big two, which is Rangers and Celtic, that it's a cliff face. It's just you can't handle being that far behind the opposite team at any point in the season because it's pure bragging rights. As for my other boys, Elgin City, they played in the Ambrose Cup today in the third round and we got beat 6-1, so yeah, we'll just not talk about that. Hugo?
All right, so basically that's what's going on right now in Scottish football. So here's what we're going to do, Momo. I'm going to go on. I need to get some drink and also control my my zoo that I have going on here. So we're going to take a very, very quick break. When we come back, we're going to go ahead and obviously preview the internet. Well, not preview, but preview what's going on in international. There was a couple of World Cup qualifiers already in South America. We also have a lot of World Cup qualifiers to look forward to over on the other side of the pond in Europe, which I know the mighty Scotland from Momo will be facing Malta tomorrow. And I'm sure Momo is gonna wanna get a sense, 2 cents on that. Also, England faced Slovakia.
Lots of
huge things going on. So we'll be right back, y'all, on the BDSR Network's Our Power and Sports Hybrid with No Foul Play. We'll be right back, y'all.
If you liked us before, you're gonna love us now.
We brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
You say things aren't going well. You say you're in jail. You say you need money to get out. Well, give Walter a call. Walter's the man that can help you get out. Face the judge and stay out. And Walter's prices are negotiable. A call to Walter the Bail Bondsman can have you out of jail and back where you belong in no time at all. Call him at 804-861-8240 or 434-579-5681. Walter the Bail Bondsman, ready and able to help you.
Food. Every meal at Elephant High can be customized from no spices to your desired level of spices. Exotic desserts, soft drinks, and alcoholic beverages are also available, including beer from Thailand. Elephant High, your spot for an exciting dining experience. Call 458-2885. That's Elephant High Restaurant in the Crossings Shopping Center in Hopewell.
Down by the riverside.
Gonna build our new dream home down by the riverside. Ingram Realty is my guide. The Landings at Anchor Point, the newest riverfront neighborhood in the Appomattox. Located in Hopewell, just 1/2 mile from Fort Lee, features single-family houses, condos, and townhouses. Models open noon to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Contact Sandra Hayashi, associate broker, at 920-3159 or Tracy Ingram Realtor at 720-8508.
Hello, I'm Corey Brown. My son Cameron and I run U.S. Gunworks at 3701 Woodlawn Street in Hopewell. We're a gunsmith shop and we sell most types of guns.
I'm Cameron Brown. My job at U.S. Gunworks is to make sure that our customers get the best service. We offer gun cleaning and most repairs, from upgrading your gun sights to refinishing the whole gun by re-bluing it or adding some color with Cerakote. We have two full-time gunsmiths on staff, and we also sharpen knives. And I am a Glock AR-15 and Smith & Wesson M&P certified armorer. We also offer a gun class, including one taught by women for women only. This class is what you need to get a Virginia concealed handgun permit. And for the car guys, we refinish more than just guns. Bluing is the same finish as black oxide finish, and Cerakote is a high temperature coating that can be applied to virtually anything.
Come and see us at 3701 Woodlawn Street in Hopewell, or call us at 804-452-6793. That number again, 804-452-6793, and see how we can help you.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
I actually, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. We've been on air. Momo, I was on mute, man. I had us on mute. I apologize to everyone. I apologize for the concert also going on before. That's showbiz for you all. I wasn't even looking at the actual switchboard. But I was talking rantedly for about 2 minutes, and I was talking about how the World Cup qualifiers are in South America. Unfortunately, for qualification in South America, is that they're in such, it's such a huge, for players that are playing in Europe, it is such a huge, like with the travel and all of that, it is big on the toll of some of these South American players. Like, for example, Lionel Messi, Neymar, Suarez, Rodriguez, Vidal, and then they come back and they look fatigued. You also risk getting injured, and unfortunately, Lionel Messi suffered an injury in their 1-0 victory against Uruguay, which now he re-aggravated his hammy. He's been having hamstring issues for like the last couple of months, and unfortunately, Lionel Messi, who retired from international football, decided to come back now that they have a new manager in place, and the Argentine Association of the Argentine Football Association has switched, obviously, a board and a manager. He decided to come back, but now Messi will be out for roughly about 2 to 3 weeks, Momo. What do you think about that, by the way, when it comes to covering qualifiers and these international fixtures, man?
Well, I'm not up to date since then from qualifiers. I mean, I say I'm not. I looked at the table, and I know it's really, really tight, and they're just about at the halfway point, which is quite cool. But, like I say, I mean, as necessary as qualifiers are, it does lead to a lot of injuries, a lot of players for clubs and players, which is a giant pain when it comes down to the domestic scene, of course.
The only thing I don't like about it, Momo, is that you could do these World Cup qualifiers when there's no football in the summer. Like, I understand that it takes a toll on your body, but they or at least come up with a scheme where some of these World Cup qualifiers can happen, Momo, because every time you look, like we talked about earlier in our segment, Henrik Mkhitaryan, now injured 7 to 14 days, you know? We don't know how the extent of his injury, how it's going to be. Same thing with Aguero. So they have to come up with some sort of system where these World Cup qualifiers could be taken in a safely place or have an actual break, like a 2-week break in between all the leagues. And I know that it's that you're going to lose revenue. I know you're going to be losing a lot of money. But at the end of the day, you do have to fit in these fixtures. But maybe the only thing that you should fit in, instead of having – for example, an international break with these friendlies and all of that good stuff. Don't have friendlies. Just have competitive matches.
Yep. I've been saying this for a long time. Scrap the friendlies. The friendlies are absolutely pointless. They serve no purpose. A good 25% on average of your players pull out, and then you end up getting beat for no reason. So I don't see the point in playing friendlies. Just keep it to international competitive games. And that's it. Nothing else.
All right, so what happened in South America, Match Day 7 happened on the 1st of September. Bolivia defeated Peru 2-0 over in La Paz, and in Barranquilla in Colombia, 2-0. Colombia victors over Venezuela. James Rodriguez and both Carlos Bacca also missed penalties, unfortunately. If not, that game could end in like 5-0. I'll just be honest with you. Brazil defeated Ecuador 3-0. Their goals came very late. They came in the 72nd minute, a goal by Neymar. Then Manchester City new boy, Gabriel Jesus. If you guys haven't watched this kid, watch him. He is fantastic. He played fantastic in the Olympics. He's a great player for Palmeiras right now. He was able to back 2 goals in his international debut, senior international debut for Brazil. 3-goal victors over Ecuador. Argentina defeated Uruguay, like I said, 1-0 goal by Lionel Messi. And then Paraguay defeated Chile 2-1. The next round of fixtures for the South American World Cup qualifiers is match day 8. We have Uruguay versus Paraguay, Venezuela versus Argentina, Chile versus Bolivia, Peru, Ecuador, and the big one, Momo, Brazil versus Colombia. In the middle of the Amazon. And why is it big? If you remember the 2014 FIFA World Cup, Momo, you remember, mm-hmm. you watched that game.
I did.
The biggest dogfight. And not because I'm Colombian, but I think Colombia did get robbed of a few calls in that 2014 World Cup. I'm just saying.
I knew you were going to say that. I've been waiting for this.
You know
you mentioned
true.
Little Colombia.
Especially that penalty that Yepes should have had.
That's questionable.
Well, some people say it's questionable, some people it's not.
I need to see it again.
Which, by the way, guys, if there is one South American game that you guys should watch, definitely that Tuesday night game in Manaus, which, by the way, it's in Manaus, in the middle of the Amazon. I remember England played Italy there in the first game in the World Cup. I don't know if you remember that. And both teams couldn't adjust to that heat. So it's going to be perfect for both Colombia and Brazil because they're both used to that type of climate. Switching over now to the other side of the pond in Europe, we have England against Slovakia. Is it Slovakia or Slovenia? Because I know they're both in the same group. Is it Slovakia or Slovenia?
I think it's Slovakia. It's definitely Slovakia because it's England. So it's Slovakia, England, Lithuania, Slovenia, and Malta, Scotland. Because that's the group.
What's your consensus on that group? Well, not on the group,
right.
But at least on that game. I guess on the group.
We see. I'm a Scotland fan, as you know, and all listeners out there now know. We haven't qualified for a major tournament since 1998. Just to put a statement on that, I was 12 years old. I was in primary school. I hadn't started secondary school yet. So, you know, that's how long ago it was. When Scotland play a game, on match day, you get into it. Even when we played Germany in the last qualifying group for Euro 2016, up to the game, I was like, oh, it's Germany, this could be difficult. Come match day, my mindset is we're going to beat Germany. And that's the mindset of all Scotland. On match day, it's we're going to beat them. It's going to be a really hard group, seriously, now, out with my little biases there. We have got Malta tomorrow night. We will beat Malta. It's probably going to be 1-0 Scotland because that's what we do. We go away to Minnows and we struggle really, really badly. England, as we all know, had a horrible Euro tournament, which, as a Scotsman, was hilarious. They've got Big Sam as a manager now. They're away to Slovakia, who they drew 0-0 with in
Which, by the way,
France.
Hold on, I gotta stop you really quick. Big Sam, people are not going to know what Big Sam is. Remember, you do have a huge US-based listener. Especially on this spot.
We do,
so, who is Big Sam?
Do apologize. Big Sam is, if you don't know, Sam Allardyce. Give him a little Google. He has managed many clubs in England. Most successfully would be his spell with Bolton, who he took from, as it was known back then, I believe, Division 2, all the way to the giddy heights of European football. And for a little team like Bolton Wanderers, that's a massive achievement. This is before the days of the £1 billion TV deals and things like that. Sam Allardyce took Bolton from nothing and took him to Europe. He's managed West Ham. He's managed Sunderland. He's also managed someone else in between them. He's a good manager. He's a good talker. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does for England. Also, he's a Scotsman, and being in the same group, I want him to fail miserably. But I think based on his tactics, his bond with players, and the way England performed in Euros, I think we'll probably beat Slovakia tomorrow night, which is going to suck for us because we need England to drop as many points as possible so we can finish second, hopefully. Or first.
All right.
You never know.
All right, so
and
anyway,
for Slovenia, Lithuania, I don't know.
So you think it's going to be England and Scotland going through then?
Yeah, I generally think that, man. This isn't my Scottish pride over my head. This is me generally thinking Scotland have got a fantastic chance. We've just lost Scott Brown, who was our captain. He currently plays for Celtic. He wants to prolong his club career because he's had a few injuries over the last couple of years, which I can understand. However, he only pulled out of the Scotland setup 2 weeks ago. So I don't think that's the right thing to do. 2 weeks for a qualifier, turn around and saying, yeah, I'm not going to play in this campaign. That's not fair. But okay, what's done is done. We move on. I generally think England will finish first. I generally think Scotland will finish second. I'll probably be wrong because, like I said earlier, Scotland's qualifying record is horrific. We have not been anywhere for 18 years. It is horrible. It is very hard watching tournaments, especially this year, when everybody else was there and we weren't. And when I say everybody else, I mean the home nations, like England, Wales, Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland. But I think this is our best chance in a very long time to finally go back to a major tournament.
All right, so just so you guys know, in Group A, we have great matches. We have, I believe, tomorrow, the Netherlands taking on France. France and the Netherlands do play. No, that's not tomorrow. I'm sorry, that's the 3rd of September of 2017. Sorry. the Netherlands and Bulgaria will face off on September 6th in Group A. This Wikipedia page is kind of weird, man. I'm trying to look at it. But anyway, in that group, I'm just going to go with this. I'm going to go with Netherlands, France, Sweden, Bulgaria, Belarus, and Luxembourg. I don't see anyone besides the Netherlands and France, Momo, to get out of that group,
yeah,
man. I just don't see anyone else. Although the Netherlands
have...
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Unless Holland have an absolute horror show, and I mean an absolute horror show like we all know we did in the European qualifiers, I can't see them struggling, to be fair. It could happen, but I can't see it happening in some range. Lessons learned.
Then we have Portugal, Switzerland, Hungary, Faroe Islands, Latvia, and Andorra in Group B. The way they're lined up there, the way this probably is going to end, there's no reason why Portugal and Switzerland should not go through.
Portugal will romp that group. Switzerland will be a distant second.
Group C, Germany, Czech Republic, Northern Ireland, Norway, Azerbaijan, San Marino. I want to go with Northern Ireland, especially with what I saw in the European Championship. I don't think the Czech Republic really have that firepower. I'm going to go Germany and Northern Ireland, Momo.
I'm going to go Germany, Czech, with Northern Ireland getting a playoff place.
Group D, we have Wales, Austria, Serbia, Republic of Ireland, Moldova, and Georgia. It's tough between Austria, Serbia, and the Republic of Ireland. I think Wales win the group.
No.
Momo, I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say the Republic of Ireland, just because it's obviously in the British Isles, even though it's not part of the UK, but it's part of the British Isles. So I'm gonna go with the Republic of Ireland.
I don't think you're gonna limb there, man. Honestly, I don't think that the rest of the teams in that group have got the experience or the talent necessary to overcome Wales or the Republic of Ireland, especially at home on their day.
A terrible group, by the way. You look at the group.
Awful group.
Group
D. That's kind of group about Scotland would get. I mean, at least the whole qualifying.
Group E, Romania, Denmark, Poland, Montenegro, Armenia, Kazakhstan. I like Poland to win that group, and I say Denmark are a distant second.
I'd say Romania.
Romania, it's either or. Because I don't think Armenia, Montenegro, and Kazakhstan are going to do anything out of that group. I just don't believe in that.
No way.
Yeah. Spain, Italy, Albania, Israel, Macedonia, Liechtenstein. I already went through Group F. That's why I didn't. That's why I skipped it. But Spain, Italy, Albania, Israel, Macedonia, and Liechtenstein. There's no reason why Spain or Italy both not go through. They're both former world champions. There's no reason why.
Yep. Easy group.
And Group H, Belgium, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Greece, Estonia, Cyprus, Gibraltar. I'm going Belgium, Bosnia.
Yeah. It's a horrible, horrible
play. And then finally, Group I, Croatia, Iceland, Ukraine, Turkey, Finland, and newcomers Kosovo. I like what I saw from Iceland. I have to go Iceland. Iceland, not to win the group. I'm gonna go out there. Yes, Iceland to win the group. And
yeah, Iceland for the group and Turkey for a second. Kosovo to finish a shock third. Croatia finishes bottom. Definitely bottom.
Is that a jab to our resident friend here on BDSR Network of Danny Powers? Is that what it is? Is that a jab to him?
Would I do that? Me? Would I go and say that about Danny? Would I do that? No.
Anyway.
Iceland win the group, Turkey and Croatia straight fight for second.
I hope Iceland wins the group, man, because they were so close to the last World Cup, and they did so well, Momo. They did so well in the Euros that there's no reason why you should not cheer for Iceland. I think if your
England.
Home country, exactly, and you were ecstatic about that.
Oh yes, I was.
You were excited about that. So there's no reason. I know you didn't shut up for a while. I remember that. You kept on going and going and going and going and going. Like the damn Energizer Bunny is how you were going, man. But anyway, matches, just really quick, Momo. Matches for – I'm trying to look here at this page. I apologize to everyone. Matches. Here we go. Matches tomorrow or today because you're on that side. Matches mm-hmm. – tomorrow, today, whatever. In Europe, you have San Marino, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Poland, Denmark, Armenia, Lithuania, Slovenia, Slovakia, England. What's your final score on that one? They are in Slovakia, though. What do you think is going to be in the final is of that game?
Praying for 0-0 just to help Scotland.
It but could be a 0-0.
It could be. Could have happened in the Euros. But realistically, given how good England are in qualifying generally, I'm going to go 2-1 England. I hope
Malta,
not.
Ireland.
I really hope not. 1-0 because we cannot go to little teams and win convincingly, apart from Gibraltar last year. But we're going to go to Malta and we're going to struggle and then we'll score at like the 89th minute and it'll be all fine because we've won the game. That's all that matters, even though it'll be a disastrous performance because they should be putting 5 past Malta.
Romania, Montenegro? Nah, whatever. That doesn't matter. I'm looking at the proper league matches. Norway, Germany. It's in Oslo. What do you got in that one?
5-0 Germany.
Jeez, 5-0 in Oslo.
Woo!
Czech Republic,
or just someone else.
Czech Republic, Northern of Ireland.
Where is it?
It's in Prague.
It's in Prague. Oh, God. A draw. 1-1.
Going with an all-0 draw. Serbia versus the Republic of Ireland. It is in Belgrade.
And Belgrade. See, Belgrade is a difficult place to go because Scotland went there a couple of years ago and drew 2-2. And
it's tough.
We're better than Ireland because we beat them qualifying. So I'm going to go 1-1.
1-0 draw, Croatia, Turkey, Ukraine, Iceland. It is in Kiev.
Ukraine, Iceland.
Mm-hmm. It's in Kiev.
1-0 Ukraine.
I'm going to go with a 1-0 draw there. Let me see what other proper liquid matches I'm looking at. It's Sweden and the Netherlands. Who do you got in that one? It is in Stockholm.
Doesn't matter where it is. Steno Holland.
Jeez, 3-0 Holland. Ooh,
mm-hmm.
you're being a little a little tough. And then after that, guys, it's just like little like Faroe Islands, Hungary, Switzerland. Oh, Switzerland, Portugal. That's a good game. What you got there?
Ooh.
It's in Bao, just so you know.
Well, you see, Portugal aren't a good team. And I know people are probably jumping that and like, oh, this guy Momo doesn't know what he's talking about. But trust me, guys, I watched so much of the Euros, so much. Portugal are not a good team. They didn't win a game until the semi-finals. They drew literally every game in 90 minutes, such as three group games, the round of 16, and the quarter-final. They drew them all. Then they won the semi-final versus Wales, and then they drew the final against France and won in extra time. So Portugal are not a good side, so I'm going to go 1-0 Switzerland.
All right. Finally, before we finish up, guys, there is one more thing happening next weekend. We did talk about the derby between Celtic and Rangers. But the big one is Manchester United. Well, I'm not saying that the other one isn't big, but I'm saying in England the biggest one is Manchester United versus Manchester City. Really quick, Momo. Mm-hmm. We already talked about so much in our transfer window talk because we're about to get out of here. So how do you see this game going and who do you have winning?
You know what, man? I just can't. I mean, EPL's play like, what, two games? And it's in an international break. And then going into what I am saying is a title derby, because not saying who wins the league, but, you know, this is, for me, the first and second at the end of the season. So I don't know. It's, you know, come later on in the season, comes the second derby, I'll have no issues potentially calling a winner. But right now, I don't know, man. I want to say City, I want to say United, but I can't pick between them. They both look good. They both look great going forward, and they both look settled at the back. So I don't know. I'm not touching it.
He's not having it. It is at Old Trafford. It's a tough game. No Sergio Aguero, by the way. He's serving a 3-match ban over his elbow on Winston Reid from West Ham. But we do have Kelechi Iheanacho, who is a fantastic prospect playing up front, learning a lot from Pep Guardiola. Nolito and Raheem Sterling, which, by the way, Raheem Sterling, listen, I'll be honest, talk on the slack you want on him. Out of Pep, he's been absolutely fantastic. I'm going to – and, oh, by the way, Man United, their loss is going to be Henrik Mkhitaryan because he re-aggravated his hamstring injury. However, he hasn't been starting. Obviously, Mourinho, for some delusional – and he has his reasons why he's starting Juan Mata, but then when he brings in Mkhitaryan in the 72nd minute, United turn on the switch. I'm gonna go with a 1-0 draw, Momo. I'm gonna go with a 1-0 draw. I think it'll be a very competitive game.
Yeah.
I think Zlatan will score on Man City. I think Raheem Sterling, the way that he's playing, I think he'll get us the one back. I think United will start this game winning. It'll be a 1-0 draw, man. And it'll be a good 1-0 draw. Because I believe, honestly, when they come back to the Etihad Stadium, I believe that Man City should have the better part of them. Then again, I can't be saying that. I honestly cannot be saying that because they're both so good on paper. Both teams are looking so good under their respective managers. So I can't even say, well, they're going to go to the Etihad and batter Man United at the Etihad. No, I can't be saying that. But I'm just going to go with a 1-0 draw, man. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to go with a 1-0 draw. I think it's fair.
Cool.
I'm not being impartial. I'm not being, screw United and blah, blah, blah. No. So I'm going to go with a 1-0 draw. So we'll obviously talk about it next week on No Foul Play. We'll be back on Sunday, next Sunday, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 12:30 here on the BDSIR network. We're going to go in and get out of here, guys. Thank you for the impromptu show. Kamomo, it was fantastic to have you on air, which, by the way, this is your first live show, so it's kind of different.
It is. Yep.
And to all of you that I saw pop up here on my switchboard, why didn't you hit the number one button? Just hit the number one button if you get into the conversation. We have a number there. for that reason. If you hit the number one button, I know that you want to talk. So next time, hit the number one button. Tony for Momo and myself. We'll see y'all next week. Thank you once again, y'all. Peace.
Later.